You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At a third hour, coming to you live from our beautiful studio here. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Tuesday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Solly fitted nicely. Good guy. Really good guy. Solomon Wilcott's great spot there. Let's get back to the hoops here, Teague. This is going to be a must. If you're an NBA fan, this must-watch first-round stuff. You've got the Raptors and the Nuggets.
Yep.
Both desperately trying to avoid 0-2 deficits with the first two games at home.
Yep.
You've got the Thunder, who are on the road but favored based on Vegas and most people's assertions about the sport and belief about the sport. Thunder should prevail. That's what many of us said. I said that. You said that.
Yeah.
They didn't look particularly good. Paul George's shoulder still problematic. They could go down 0-2, although I think they play great tonight and win. I'm going to call that right now. I think the Thunder win.
The X factor?
Mm-hmm.
Enes Kanter.
You know what? Kanter's a beast, dude.
Nurkic is out, right? Uh-huh. It's like, okay, Portland didn't have a chance. Enes Kanter gives you 20 and 18.
He is such an effort guy.
100%.
But he's a skilled effort guy.
Yes, agreed.
You know, and I knew it made no sense for him to be on the Knicks. Obviously, the Knicks wound up getting a buyout, and he just simply didn't fit their trajectory, making too much money. You know, it made no sense to keep him around, and I'm happy he gets a chance to go and compete and play somewhere where he's Knicks fans appreciate him, but where he's got a chance to play some meaningful games.
Yep.
But what's amazing about him, you know, first of all, I think people forget, and I'm just trying to find this, how young he is. I think he's only 26. I could be wrong on that, but I think he's only 26 years old. He's 26, right? And, you know, he's a player
feels
who
feels much older than that for some
he
reason.
He does. Well, because he's been around for a while.
Well, I think because he's been around and the stuff that was happening in his home country.
Turkey.
He was here.
Yeah.
And he just felt much more mature than a 26-year-old, mid-20-year-old kid.
I would agree with that. But I think he also hit the public radar right away. Like his first year with the Thunder, they were good. Like they were playing playoff games and he's been around. And
that's right.
But he's he's an incredible offensive rebounder. Like, if Enes Kanter played in the 80s or 90s, I honestly believe he would be, like, a consistent all-star.
Yeah, you're probably right.
He's not going to play defense for you, not going to hit many outside shots, but his ability to score in the paint and grab offensive rebounds, it's uncanny. So, you know, listen, tonight is big, but I want to get back to the Warriors for a second. Big for the three teams we just hit. And also big for the three teams trying to go up two games to none, obviously. I want to play something for you, and then you and I could kick it around briefly. Then I want to play something for you as well from the same locker room. Here's Steve Kerr, and you have to really, I know you're driving around, doing whatever you do. Listen to what Steve Kerr says. This is a serious indictment on the focus and direction of his Warriors.
We stopped playing, kind of disconnected, kind of mid-third quarter, and lost our defensive edge. I mean, they scored 85 points in the second half. You know, we had really done a good job defensively in the first half. We kind of messed with the game a little bit. And when you do that, you know, you're in some trouble, especially in the playoffs.
Okay, so that's Steve Kerr and then Klay Thompson, who, you know, rarely says much. He just wants to come and, you know, hoist 10, 12 jump shots a night, probably knock down at least six of them, goes merry way, and sometimes he'll go bonkers and score 40. Play defense, terrific two-way player. Klay Thompson does not say much, but I think what he encapsulates here is equally important, that they just got way too relaxed. Here's Klay.
We let our guard down. We weren't the aggressors anymore. We didn't deserve to win that game. Basketball gods didn't reward us. I mean, I had a wide-open look at the top of the key. In and out happens. We'll bounce back. I'll bounce back. The whole team will.
Yeah.
And it's not even the missed jump shot. I don't even blink at that. You get that again, Klay's going to knock down the next one.
Well, I think he's talking about so it's interesting because you listen to Steve Kerr. First thing he says is, we stopped playing.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
It's the playoffs.
And then Klay says, we got too relaxed.
Exactly.
Which is basically saying the same thing.
It's like, what? It's the playoffs.
Exactly.
Now, I think what Klay ultimately was referring to is, and when he's talking about the basketball gods, the better team should win. Klay had an open jumper from the top of the three-point, the arc, and it didn't go down. If he makes that shot, they probably win the game they shouldn't have deserved to win, right? So it's interesting how this team has has come maybe to rely on that too much. They've said to themselves, look, we're the better team. You put us on paper, hell, you put us on the court, 9 out of 10 times with almost anybody, we're the better team. And even if we don't play well, if KD goes on a bad, has a bad night, or Steph, you know, just is cold as hell from three-point range or whatever it may be, we're going to find a way to win because we're that good. And that shot is going to fall, right? The one that determines the game, even though we're up by 30, the one that determines the game is going to fall for us. Until it doesn't, mm-hmm. until you get outworked like they did by the LA Clippers, or until you have the mental smallness, at least in a game, of Kevin Durant getting destroyed by Patrick Beverley and only taking 8 shots, 3 of them in the fourth period when they were trying to sustain or at least withstand this comeback by the LA Clippers. I mean, it doesn't make sense in any metric, right? You look at the history of this team, you look at the history of these players and the coach, this game didn't make any sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense unless you piece together all the various conversations you and I have had about what ails the Warriors
True.
This season.
I just don't think the Clippers are that good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the part that makes it seem a little bit unbelievable.
Offensively,
they're an effort team.
Agreed. If offensively, you're off,
mm-hmm.
or you're not shooting because your mind's out of it, KD. Lockdown defensively.
Yep.
Right? They're not going to shoot you out of the gym.
No.
Even though they scored 85 points in the second half. They're not. So the thing that you've always loved about the Golden State Warriors is that it was a two-way street. I mean, yeah, they could score with the best of them. They could score 140 points on a night. But they also have really good defenders, at least effort defenders. Klay is one of the best two-way guys in the game, right? Steph, when he moved the point guard, guard the opposing point guard, which something Steve Kerr did 4 years ago, it made a difference,
mm-hmm.
right? KD's as long as anybody in the game.
And when he went to Golden State, started playing almost like a center,
exactly.
blocking shots and
rebounding,
drawing assignments.
And doing all these things.
Don't forget about Iguodala, who's a seasoned defensive player. 100%. Draymond's won Defensive Player of the Year award.
100%.
Looney's a bouncy athlete,
right.
big.
And instead, in a game that maybe they feel – okay losing because it's only the game two and they're at home, Kevin Durant takes 8 shots and has 5 rebounds?
Well, that's what's unacceptable. And I remember, this just flashed, I didn't say this the first hour, this just flashed into my head. I remember when Carlos, I don't know that you remember this, but it was a little minutiae, a little baseball, but there's a greater point. Mm-hmm. Carlos Beltran with the Mets. This would have been 2006. Adam Wainwright, it was a playoff game. Mets very well could have won the championship that year.
I remember this.
Okay.
Yes.
Wainwright snapped off, in Beltran's defense, one of the filthiest curveballs.
Yes.
And that was early Wainwright. We didn't know how great that curveball truly was. One of the best I've ever seen, along with Burp Lilevin and maybe a few others. But Beltran never swung.
Mm-hmm.
I remember getting on the air locally in New York the next day, and I eviscerated him because you have to at least swing.
Right.
And... yeah, it's kind of akin to Kevin Durant, although that stage is far greater, you know, with the chance to go to the World Series versus Game Two of Round One of the Western Conference playoffs here. To take 8 shots is akin to keeping the bat on your shoulders.
Yeah.
You got to take some swings.
Agreed. Now, even if it doesn't mean anything for this particular series against the Clippers, because again, the Golden State Warriors are significantly more talented, especially offensively, scoring-wise. Even though the fact that they scored 135 points on Golden State is surprising, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But other teams are going to look at this, and whether it's the Houston Rockets or wherever else they face down the line, or even in the NBA Finals, if they should get there again, are going to say, look, there's a formula, and we've started to see it. And over the course of a 7-game series, there's no telling how many we can steal from a team that's supposed to beat us. So, like, half of success for elite teams like Golden State is, and like they have been for the last three or four years specifically, you're almost defeating the opponent before you get in the gym. They can't rely on that anymore. And I think the Clippers just opened a window to say, look, we can out-hustle them, we can out-work them, and we can get into their heads. And that's not a good thing for Golden State.
Which gets me to the next part of the conversation. As I read from my email, I got this from the Warriors earlier. Let's see. All right, Warriors center DeMarcus Cousins, who exited last night's game 2 against the Clippers with 8-9 remaining in the first quarter, underwent an MRI exam earlier today in the Bay Area. The MRI confirmed that Cousins has suffered a torn left quadriceps muscle. No surprise, but this is the official email from the Warriors PR staff. The injury will sideline Cousins indefinitely. That means we'll see him next season. Even if they make the finals, he's not playing. I don't think, even though some people think he can, I don't think he will. Non-contact, that thing rolled up like a lampshade. That is not good.
Yep.
And he will begin rehabilitation immediately. Updates on the progress will be provided as appropriate. So, as he goes down in a non-contact effort play, which is really sad for DeMarcus Cousins, as Agreed. He and Gallinari were pursuing the ball, who takes those 20-something minutes a game?
I don't know.
I mean, that's a problem.
Literally, it's Kevin Looney.
True.
But who actually played well. He had 19 points in 19 minutes. He actually played well. He played well the times that he's gotten. But
yes, he has, but he's not DeMarcus Cousins.
Exactly. He's not Boogie. You know what I mean? And I think the impact offensively and, more importantly, defensively just can't be – it's not going to be the same. And so
I think defensively it could be because I've said this before on the show. I think you have the right system. I don't know that the Clippers are this team to exploit it, but the Rockets are. You get DeMarcus Cousins high post, pick and roll, move his feet, you're going to destroy him. And I think that Looney's going to move his feet much better laterally in terms of that dexterity. That physical or defensive dexterity. But it's the other stuff.
Yeah.
The three-point shooting, the toughness, the edge in the huddle. He's a great passer. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to miss DeMarcus Cousins. Let me throw this by you. I know that this is next year, and everybody's focused on Kevin Durant leaving. If we don't see DeMarcus Cousins the rest of the year, and I can't imagine how we do.
I don't know how we do.
Okay, so he's on ice the rest of the year, unfortunately. Don't you think that that's on some level a silver lining for the Warriors? Because he's not going to get big money again. He's going to have to prove himself again.
Yeah. So
Do you think he could take a one-year deal with the Warriors and say, all right, I'll kick this down the road for one more year. Instead of 1 year, $5 million, give me 1 year, $8 million. You know, he's in his late 20s at this. What is he, about 28, Boogie?
29. 29? This summer. So
he's 28 still. He'll be 29, age 29 next season. Who's giving him big money?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Not 2 years being injured. Significant injuries. So that could actually
and non-contact injuries.
No,
that's worrisome.
Yeah, I feel bad for him too.
I do too.
He was hustling, and it's not something you normally see him doing—sprinting down a court to dive for a ball.
And he probably shouldn't be. And you know that's what stinks. You want guys to hustle.
Yeah, you're right.
But then you don't want.
It's not his game. It's like know your limits.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's like a huge lumbering outfielder who's your four hitter smashing into walls. No, just give let him have the double. Let him have the triple, get in the batter's box the next inning and hit a three-run bomb. That's what we need you for. Not to turn it to Ken Griffey or Willie Mays.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. So the Warriors have some issues. Quickly, are you convinced the Raptors bounce back tonight?
Yes, I am.
I would agree. Are you convinced the Thunder bounce back tonight?
I am not.
I love the Thunder to bet tonight. I'm just saying that, right?
I think
you know where I'm going.
Portland's got the monkey off their back.
Okay. Are you convinced that the Nuggets bounce back tonight against the Spurs with a vengeance?
No.
I would tend to agree.
Yeah.
I would say in order of...
It's the same conversation with the Nuggets. You gotta show me.
You gotta show me. That's fair. Right. No, that's fair.
You're going up against one of the great, if not the greatest coaches of our generation. You gotta show me.
Mm-hmm.
Nuggets.
I would say in order of confidence, I would on my confidence meter tonight, I would put the Thunder far and away number one. I would put the Raptors a distant. That's just how much I believe in Oklahoma City tonight.
Yeah.
A distant,
really?
But a firm two. And I put the Nuggets three.
Nuggets definitely three. I'd probably flip the top two.
You'd flip the top two?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, coming up next, the Yankees might want to flip the bad luck mojo that's been dumped in their locker room. I got to be honest, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah.
The Yankees can field an all-star team with the guys who are on the injured list right now. It is uncanny. Yankees got issues. Talk a little New York Yankees coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Just switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Heads up, tomorrow program alert. The great Tony Dungy will be with us in studio, which will be sweet. And Tiki and I are gearing up for the draft. We're heading out to Nashville, down to Nashville, Tennessee. You're going Wednesday. next Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to fly in the following morning, Topps Draft Preview Show here in New York on Wednesday. 3 hours on this network, CBS Sports Network, from 9 to noon. And then I'll fly in really early Thursday. You and I will do our shows out there Thursday and Friday, mix it up, and get ready for the draft. It's going to be terrific.
Yeah,
I can't wait for the draft.
The draft is always great. Even if it's disappointing for some teams, it's always an exciting moment for all these kids that are fulfilling a dream. So it's always great to be a part of it.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. So that's coming. Okay, the Yankees. Listen, I'm not one of these Yankee fans who overreacts. I'm also not one of these Yankee fans who believes that just because the team I root for is called the Yankees, that the Yankees will magically figure things out and win a World Series. I believe you still need to be proactive.
Yep.
And do some stuff here to mitigate, to somewhat offset what has been the absolute worst physical stretch of luck that I've ever seen bestowed upon any team in any professional sport. What the Yankees are
saying a lot.
It's crazy. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't other, I want to be clear, there aren't other teams out there that, you know, 2 weeks into the Major League Baseball season, I go keep it to baseball, not even though I say the other sports, at least pertaining to baseball's recent history, that haven't had more injuries, mm-hmm. like just in terms of the sheer volume. But there is no team that can field an all-star team with the guys on the injured list like the Yankees can. You ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
I texted you guys this morning. All right, this is absolutely insane.
And I didn't look at it fully until just a second ago.
Well, thanks, buddy.
I mean, I saw it. I knew all the names, but I didn't.
What if I ignored your text for 5 hours?
I knew all the names, and I responded to you, but I didn't realize the context with which you sent it.
Exactly. I got it.
So go ahead. So expound.
So Gary Sanchez, catcher, soft tissue, he's gone. And he's actually hitting bombs this year, too.
Yeah.
Greg Bird, who's always hurt, he's got plantar fasciitis. Who knows? That's probably, who knows with him.
Yeah.
As much as I think Greg Bird can hit, I really have to give up on Greg Bird.
By the way,
he's never available.
By the way, important, he's a first baseman.
He's a first baseman. So we're going catcher, first base. Tulo, you want to stick him, you know, at second base, although he's played shortstop because for the most part of the Yankees, even though he got hurt basically 3 games in, because Didi Gregorius, who's an all-star shortstop, had Tommy John surgery and isn't back till the middle of the summer. Miguel Andujar, who hit basically 50 doubles and 100 RBIs and batted 297 as an incredible rookie for the, who I love, not a great fielder, but boy, can hit. He might miss the entire season with a labrum issue. Then you got Ellsbury, who's never coming back, but I have to throw him in there to round out my outfield. Then he did make an all-star team, granted with the Red Sox. Hicks, who is a very, very good player. Yeah. Aaron Hicks is good.
Just signed a deal, too.
That's right. Signed a 7-year deal, mm-hmm. which is, it seems crazy, but it's actually team-friendly in terms of AAV. He's got power. He can run. He's a terrific center fielder with a cannon for an arm. He's out. Then Giancarlo Stanton has been out for basically since the start of the season with a biceps injury. Who knows when he's coming back? Your ace Severino is out. You're a terrific pitcher in Betances. He's not your closer, but he's a great competent arm out there when he's right. He's out. I mean, this is uncanny.
Yeah.
And I say all this for one reason. The Yankees have this luxury. The Red Sox aren't playing well. The Red Sox are actually a game behind the Yankees in the standings.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees' run differential is plus 10. The Red Sox is minus 32. Extrapolate what you will. That tells me the Yankees are at least a more well-rounded baseball team, even with these injuries. But the Yankees need to seriously begin investigating signing Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, well,
I have not said that all year. They got to at least call and figure out what it's going to take.
You worry about the luxury tax, which the Yankees and other teams, but the Yankees specifically, because we're talking about them, have been terrified of. For whatever reason, I don't know. I mean, I guess you just don't want to pay the extra money if you're not winning a championship. But I think you need to spend the extra money if you want to even have a chance to win a championship.
Correct.
Right?
So it's a tough dance to navigate.
It is, because you got to give yourself some runway until all these guys start to get healthier. But BT, I mean, you can look through the injured list, and there's some big names with the Yankees, but there's also big names everywhere. Why is this happening so frequently in baseball? And we talked about it with some pitchers. It was 2 years ago, whenever it was, they started getting these core muscle things.
The oblique.
And it's, you know, they're working out differently and all these different things, but it can't be just dumb luck, right?
No, it's not. It's definitely not dumb luck. I know you said pitchers, but take somebody like Giancarlo Stanton.
Yeah.
Okay. He emerges from spring training, and, I mean, he looks like Zeus is what he looks like. He looks like Zeus. Yeah. He looks like a skinny rock, basically. He even facially kind of resembles
the
rock.
Yeah, right. He does a little bit.
So you look at somebody like Giancarlo Stanton, who's a modern player, you know, now in his late 20s, a masher. But look at him. I mean, he walks around like this.
Yeah, so he's tight.
He's tight.
No elasticity.
He's tight. He's been hurt his whole career. He's always hurt.
You know what it is, in a sense, it seems like? Vanity, right? Because think about football players. Like, you see a football player going to training camp, you know, end of July, right? Early August. You see these dudes, they are swole.
Yep.
They're just enormous. And they need it because they're going to get banged around.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, because it's such an atrocious sport, they come back to like normal.
Yeah. Right?
And it doesn't really affect them. Baseball players, I think in some regards, they're victims of the increased, I don't know, physical fitness, or not physical fitness, but you know what I mean? Like these new workout regimens that promote like explosiveness and
like plyometrics going back to the origin.
Yeah, but not fully CrossFit, but CrossFit. Like I see people doing CrossFit all the time these days.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, you realize you are slowly but surely ripping your spine apart by doing all these high explosive, heavy weight, you know, movements that you're doing incorrectly.
Uh-huh,
you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so, like, there's these new workout fake crazes that have taken over the world, and it's partly vanity, but it is what it is, but it's unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's infiltrated some of a sport, right? Because these injuries are happening in ways that shouldn't be happening. It's like swinging a bat,
mm-hmm.
which is something these guys have done since they were 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
probably longer.
Definitely
you
longer.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's, you know, throwing a pitch. And you get an oblique strain, something you've been doing since you were 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
probably longer.
Mm-hmm.
Running the second base and you tear a quad. Like, what? It doesn't make sense to me.
That makes no sense.
The amount of injuries that are taking over baseball in particular. Football, I get it. It's a violent
mm-hmm.
sport. I mean, it's a high-speed collision 30 times a game.
But football, they don't have weird injuries. They don't have
it's stuff that you see.
Correct.
It's like, oh, he just tore his ACL.
Get the cart.
Yeah.
Of course.
There goes his Achilles.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because it's a violent collision that is incredibly easy to detect, and when that happens, you're going to get hurt.
Yes. For the Yankees specifically, it's like, oh, he's hurt now?
It's a lot of soft tissue stuff.
Agreed. Calf, back,
groin,
foot.
The obliques, as you said. You know, the only thing that I can think of is, and it's definitely rooted in the aggressive workout supplements, even if it's not steroids,
mm-hmm.
but I can't imagine like creatine and that stuff is really good for the elasticity of the ligaments.
Right.
I don't think it is. Matter of fact, I really don't think it is.
No, I remember taking it when I was in college, and I pulled my hamstrings every year.
Yeah.
I stopped taking it.
Okay.
Because it was the only thing I could point to that was causing me to dehydrate my muscles, but allow me to work harder.
Exactly. You nailed that well. But think about a football player, and most of the movements are controlled, mm-hmm. and you very rarely deviate from, I'm talking about sheer body movements.
Yeah.
From the whatever the outline of your said position might be. Now, a wide receiver, you might have to stretch in a weird spot, a ball thrown behind you, going to, I get that. But now think about baseball players, middle infielders, all the different slots you throw a baseball.
Contorted, diving.
Contortions, turning two. You know, you can't, you know, a baseball player, and I can't prove this, but I just think if you watch both sports, I think you would probably agree with me. You know, the unexpected movements for a baseball player, I think, far surpass football.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a receiver, get
so
off
quick.
The line, jam,
yeah.
you know, get open, run, plant, turn, catch. Pretty basic stuff.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
No.
And I could. I mean, you get hit by a Mack truck. I'm not saying it's easy, but you know what's coming. Baseball, that bad hop, that line drive in the gap, it just seems like there's so many unpredictable movements, and the body has changed for the worse. It looks better. It's going to get you the girls. You look yoked when you wear a shirt, you know, no shirt by the bull.
Yeah.
But can you play 150 games?
Yeah, because that's what you're paid to do.
You can't do it.
That's what you're paid to do.
Now, again, there were no outlets to talk about this. Even sports radio wasn't really around when we were kids. Didn't really start with, you know, until 87. Although there were some spurt, but in, you know, in terms of like the rest of the country really joining on and sports radio going crazy. How many times? I mean, who pulled hamstrings in the major leagues back then?
Not too many people.
Ricky Henderson had a little bit of a hamstring issue.
But he was very tight.
No doubt about it.
Because he was fast as hell, too. Yeah. And he had that body.
I remember Keith Hernandez tearing his hamstring in St. Louis, I believe.
Well, I don't remember that. When he was with the Guards.
No, when he was with the Mets, 88.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
It was toward
that.
The end of his career.
That's right. Yeah, that's may have been with the Indians, actually, when he did that.
Because
he went to the Indians for a minute after the Mets. But the point being, you know, even like when Darryl, again, from our New York parachute growing up watching the Yankees and the Mets, most of the injuries of, like, Darryl Strawberry broke his thumb a few diving. Mm-hmm. Donnie hurt his back. My guy Mattingly taking ground balls in Milwaukee. You know, I mean, guys would get hurt, but it would be the unexpected, unfortunate collision into a wall.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be running.
You're right.
It's unacceptable.
And I got to tell you, the Yankees, they may be benefiting from the Red Sox being bad right now, but the team that's not,
Tampa Rays,
is the Tampa Bay Rays, who were 12-4, and they're doing it with pitching, dude. I mean, we talk about a team that didn't have any starting pitchers, but Tyler Glasnow and Tarlie Morton and Blake Snell,
mm-hmm.
they're beasting it right now to start this season.
Kip Pham's hitting as well. He's got some bombs, some ribbies. He's got some steals. Now, they're well managed. They're well run. I don't think, what are they on pace for? 36, 48. I don't know. I'm going to do this fast. They're not going to win 137 games, that's for sure. But you know what? If you think that the Rays are going to collapse and become a sub-90 win team, you're wrong.
You're right.
They're going to win north of 90 easily. So the Yanks and the Red Sox better get their act together when it begins tonight as they start playing each other. All right, coming up next, did the A's actually try to make a last-ditch pitch to keep Kyler Murray? And how about this? Eli Manning says he knows what's coming. But does he? We'll hit that after the update. Right now, here's Ack.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All righty, time now for the game plan for success here on Tiki and Tierney, sponsored by Napa. Take a look at somebody or team and their plan for success. Let's hit the Clippers. The Clip Show able to battle back last night in Oracle in the East Bay. Game 2 against the Warriors, staying hot from downtown. L.A. 14 of 31. From three, that's 45%. Very healthy, hefty number. Landry Shamet, 3 seconds. He had three with 16 seconds remaining. His three with 16 to go, pardon me. Put the Clippers up by two. Clippers will look to take advantage. Now they go home. They go to Staples Center. Maybe LeBron will get to sit courtside and watch the only playoff team in the building when the series shifts to the Staples Center coming up on Thursday. Napa Auto Parts, the expertise in parts you need to help you keep your car on the road, no matter how many miles it has, quality parts, helpful people. That is Napa know-how. All right, so tomorrow, Tony Dungy, Hall of Famer, NFL head coach, and we'll chat with Coach. He'll be in studio on the phone, Eddie House, which will be nice.
Nice.
Eddie House.
Blake Snell, who I was just talking about.
You jinxed him? Raid.
He broke his toe this morning.
Oh, you're a mush.
I'm such a mush. But he's only expected to miss one start, so it probably wasn't. It's probably like this pinky.
Can't
toe.
Be his big toe because he's not going to be able to land toe. On that.
You seen Harlem Nights?
Yeah, it's an old one.
You shot my pinky toe. No, I think it was his fourth toe. Is that right, Dan? Yeah,
God.
Fourth toe. So, I jinxed him.
Well, not really, because if it happened a couple of hours ago, we just mentioned.
But I was just talking about
13
it,
minutes ago.
Just delivering the news right
that's
now.
Dan. Yeah, that's so one story. That's not bad. Like, how did he get hurt though? Ground ball.
I
didn't even see it.
A granite pole in his house fell. And land on his
toe. All right. It's going to happen. Do we believe that one, by the way?
I mean, you just got paid $50 million.
Have somebody do it for you?
Exactly.
You got to listen. Some guys still like to roll up their sleeves.
I mean,
no matter how
a granite pole is heavy enough to break your toe, pay someone who knows what the hell they're doing. I'm just saying.
You ready to blast away here?
Yeah, let's blast.
Let's go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, the Oakland A's who throw, you know, nickels around like manhole covers out of necessity. You don't have a ton of money. But the A's reportedly offered Kyler Murray a $14 million contract plus...
Wow.
$5 million to sign.
Wow.
A little bonus to try and have Murray pick them over the NFL, so pretty aggressive on their part for sure. Should this offer have made Murray think twice?
No. If he still believes that he's going to get drafted number one overall, which we still do believe is going to happen, because he'll make north of $32 million, which is what Baker Mayfield made last year, also of Oklahoma, and Heisman Trophy pedigree. So, I mean, if it's just a monetary thing, it doesn't even make sense. But this is obviously more than a monetary thing.
Mm-hmm.
He loves football.
He loves football.
More than he loves baseball.
I do wonder what it would have been like if, no disrespect to the A's. You know, I have love for how they operate,
yeah.
But out of necessity again. But what if it was like the Yankees or the Dodgers or a higher profile team that actually drafted Kyler Murray? I wonder if that would have enticed him a little bit more. We'll never know.
It's interesting, though. Interesting question.
Something to think about. The other thing, too, is if you Kyler Murray, think about the recent trend. You know, Kuna got $100 million. There's now buying out years of arbitration. That's a real different trend now. It obviously didn't factor into his thinking, but nah, his heart's in football. Go play football.
Agreed.
All right, Alex Ovechkin knocked out. I don't know, how do you say this guy's name?
Andrei
Svechnikov.
Svechnikov.
Svechnikov. There you go. Svechnikov. Nah, that wasn't
Svech.
It. Svechnikov.
Svechnikov.
But good. You have to say a whole thing now.
Yeah, right.
And you can't say it like
Andrei Svechnikov.
All right, we'll go with that one. He knocked him out he basically knocked him out pretty quick. Kid's a 19-year-old kid he knocked out. Should fighting still be allowed in the NHL? Yes. Yeah, it should be. It's barbaric, and it's counter to, you know, the softness of society now. And I'm certain, look at him, he circles. I love it. They drop the gloves, goes for the neck. The kid throws a couple of that. Kid actually got him a few times in the face.
He
threw a few punches, but Ovechkin got him down pretty quick. He's hurt there, by the way, and I don't make light of this. You can tell he's helped off the ice.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing that.
He got drilled by a right to the jaw, and it just, you know how it works. Hit your brainstem, twist a little bit, you're unconscious.
He's in concussion protocol, by the way.
He is in concussion protocol. And I think he probably... I mean, it didn't help that he hit the ice unconscious.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So it just exacerbates it a little bit. But, I mean, you're 19 years old. Alexander Ovechkin is a man now and a stud. Don't take him on. Walk away. Skate away, kid. Skate away.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm watching this again. I didn't see this.
He was following him, by the way. So just so you know.
Oh, they're right by in front of the net?
Yeah.
Oh, there was some activity for sure.
Svechnikov was following Ovechkin.
Yeah, I hate to see anybody get hurt like that. That's not good. I mean, UFC is one
thing. If you don't know how to fight, don't fight. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can tell the way he kind of gave one of these half-hearted left hands, like it was kind of soft. And then Ovechkin, being the savvy vet, dropped the stick and dropped the gloves a little bit quicker than he did. And he was able to connect and... Yeah, just probably keep skating. Unless you're a goon and that's how you make your money.
Exactly.
But goons
are gone,
they're
man.
They're gone. You got to be able to skate. You got to be able to handle a puck a little bit.
What are you doing
goons
out
are gone.
Here? You know.
You a goon. This is what I do. I'm here to kick you all behind. Let's drop them. All right, Eli Manning expects the Giants to draft a quarterback. Which quarterback makes the most sense for Tiki's Giants?
I mean, Dwayne Haskins, I love. The kid is just fun. I don't think he makes the most sense, though, because they need a pass rusher. And there's a couple of studs up top where the Giants will draft. I think Daniel Jones.
Yeah, it's not moving me. Every time he comes
have to
up.
Move, it doesn't have to move you. Trust me, I remember this when Eli was drafted.
Eli was first overall.
But people said this about Eli.
What?
And it wasn't about first overall skill or anything. It was just who he is. They said he's not his brother. You know what? He's not the same personality.
Mm-hmm.
Not his brother. He had a demeanor that fit perfectly in New York.
I'm not talking about demeanor with Daniel Jones. And I know that he played with some inferior wide receivers, with all due respect to Duke.
I understand.
I know, and I know he's a good athlete. Ran about a 4.7 40.
Mm-hmm.
He can move. He's not like Eli athletically. He's not going to be boxed into the pocket. I'm not feeling it with him. I could be totally wrong. It's not projectability or voice.
I met him, spent some time with him.
I hear you. I'm biased to Dwayne Haskins. He's got a hose.
I do, too.
That's who I'm biased to. Can rip it 65 yards down the field.
No comment.
That means he agrees. All right. Doc Rivers dropped $2,000 on the street in San Francisco yesterday, and a stranger returned it in full. By the way, and I don't say this in joking, there's a lot of homeless people on the street in San Francisco. It's epidemic, as
really
we know.
Is. We noticed that at the Super Bowl. I was shocked.
And I lived there. We lived right there by AT&T and SoMa. They were everywhere. It's a real epidemic out there, unfortunately. What have you lost and shockingly had returned back to you? Mm. Oh, boy. You know, nothing that jumps out, but one thing that I do a lot, and I actually send myself a little text notation to make sure I don't forget. But when I get on the plane, I like to put my suits or my sports jackets, in the front. And a lot of these airlines don't allow you to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
For whatever reason.
Unless you're sitting in first class. Yeah.
I usually don't. Because I just usually don't.
Unless Wrangler and Westwood are sitting down, that's true.
But I can't remember the last thing that I lost and surprisingly had returned to me. I know that that's a lame answer, but nothing really jumps out.
I'm trying to think.
I mean, I lost stuff, but it just hasn't been returned.
I lost an iPad when I went to Ecuador.
Okay.
And so we called, and they said they were going to send it back to us. They're like, we found it. We'll send it to you.
You tracked it on the...
Never got it.
They never... You know, wow. Never got it. It's now been chopped up into cocaine. that's a tough D-cell. Pop for me. Yo Mas D-cell, have you ever had anything lost of value and returned to you surprisingly?
Shockingly, same as Teak. I lost an iPad on a flight in the little pouch in the seat in front of you.
Yeah, you just forget.
I slept my entire flight. I never used the iPad.
Oh.
Didn't realize it until actually when I was packing to go home from vacation, submitted the claim that I had lost the iPad, and it was delivered
back. Wait, so you didn't even open the iPad on your entire vacation?
No, not
at all. Who doesn't do that?
I'm on vacation. I'm not using my iPad.
Was it when you worked for us? Because you didn't do a modicum of work for us. I mean, I don't expect you to work hard. Can you at least check Twitter? Make sure the sports world hasn't stopped spinning? Bad enough.
I forgive you, D-Cell.
Santa's in Israel for 17 days, forgetting about the show. This guy goes on vacation, doesn't even know. Who doesn't even open a laptop on vacation?
Not at one point. Well, it was a Disney vacation.
I actually give
summer.
You props on that. I'm messing around. And by the way, the greater question here is.
I'm glad you can disconnect.
I wish I could.
Most people cannot.
I hear you. What in the world is Doc doing with too large in cash?
I know.
To get ready to. What's he doing?
He wanted playing
Tunk. What's he buying? What's he selling?
No, he wanted playing Tunk on the plane with the guy.
Domino, mother, please. What time is it? All right, so we hit the Doc story, okay. The Magic and the Raptors and the Spurs. Wait, that didn't read right. The Magic, the Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder. Would you look at the way he writes that?
The Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets,
like
Thunder, Blazers are all playing tonight.
Like
it's easy. You just
Then you read the whole thing. Go ahead.
Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder, Blazers
tonight.
But it's
weird with the little slanted line there.
D-Cell. Yo Mas.
It doesn't match my eyes.
You put the space in between the Magic and the forward slash.
Thank you.
So it just kind of looks like you're just saying Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, Thunder, Blazers.
Yo Mas, be better. Otherwise, we're going to ship you and your iPad. Wherever your iPad is, that's where you'll be next. But what's the question?
We'll be calling No Mas. See what I did there?
Tomas. No Mas for Tomas.
Do we expect all three of these series to be tied after tonight? I'm saying no.
Do we expect all three to be tied?
I'm saying no. I think the Blazers go up 2-0.
No, no way. We are vehemently in different corners here. I think the Thunder win easy. Thunder put money. Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I love the
Paul
Thunder
George
tonight.
Jacked up shoulder.
Thunder will win tonight.
Enes Kanter.
Thunder will win tonight.
Steven Adams.
I believe the Nuggets will find a way to win as well. And what's the third game? Why am I forgetting the third game?
Sorry. Raptors.
Raptors win. I don't think they crush them, though.
I know, but they're tough. But they are. But
Magic are tough.
Raptors are significantly better.
Significantly?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I think they're better.
Time's up.
It's been a while.
The blast is over for another day.
Are you joining your Yankees on the injured list?
Oh, you were close.
That
hurt like hell.
But that's like the perfect way to throw it. You throw it across the camera. You throw it across the camera so it looks like it actually hits the camera.
Can I tell you a proud moment?
What's that?
A proud dad moment that happened about 3 days ago, and it's actually happened every day since, which is really good for me. Hopefully a foreshadow. So, Colts 4, as you know, and we're in T-ball. And we started with T-ball. Before we moved to the home, he was 2, and he's like a little bit disinterested. The focus is everywhere. And he started ripping it. You've seen the video. He's got a nice swing. He's got good hand-eye coordination for sure. Hopefully he doesn't have daddy's lack of foot speed, but he's got good hand-eye coordination. And we started hitting off the tee. But then I started, we have a pretty big basement now. I've got a big bucket of wiffle balls. He's got his bat. And I throw him like that. That actually hit the camera.
Yeah.
And I throw him like that. And you know, soft. I noticed the low ones, he always swings and misses. The high ones, he's a high ball hitter, which I have to change. I don't want him to get in that bad habit. But if I throw a wiffle ball around, he's ripping line drives. Every once in a while, I'll slip off a little curve just to see how he reacts.
You know, the wiffle ball, so it dives off the table.
Yep. I want to see if he's like, I want him to train his eyes. The last couple of days, I've been gassing back and rare and throwing cheese. Now, he hasn't hit it, but he's not afraid, and he swings at it, and he's on it. I'm like, wow.
What happened to the sunflower seeds?
Well, Jen said, if you do that, I'm going to divorce you because you're a maniac if you start doing that. But four-year-olds, he's hanging in there on some cheese.
All right,
good
Colton.
Sign. Attaboy. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.